Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here on a Victory Friday, a Reaction Friday, and a Football Friday, baby. It's good times. I see Tyler. What's the shirt you got, Tyler?
H is up.
There it is. H is up. He's got glasses
on. I'm hurting, boys.
I'm pissed. I'll be honest with you. I know we're going to get to
it, but I am hurting.
I'm a little pissed off at Tyler.
What happened?
I sat up there and I waited. I waited for Tyler's message to text where he's going.
Oh, the after
where
party.
We going. I was ready, Tyler. I sure enough was.
I was not in a great frame of mind, my friend.
I tied my shoes up tight. I was ready. And I didn't get it, so I just went on home, man. That's it.
I don't know
if I'm buying it.
I was in a different headspace, boys.
I stayed out there till 11:45 waiting on Tyler. Waiting on that text.
Why didn't you text me?
I was certain we had made this conversation. Like you said, I'm gonna hit you up. Say, hit me up afterwards. I thought, all right, man, maybe he went home.
Tyler, I'm with you. I thought that was all a joke.
Yeah, I didn't think it was real.
I didn't think he was really gonna step
Tyler,
out.
What Tyler didn't even think about me at that time. Let's just be honest. The way that Tyler started,
a lot of
he
dirty water, boys.
Yeah,
I'm in some pain.
That's all right, but you're going to work through it, baby. It's good pain.
Damn
because right. the Houston Texans, they are above 500. They win at home against Buffalo. A lot going against them, and they show the entire nation, the world. They're the talk of everything right now. Clint, I would look at this in 713-572-4610 because obviously a day like this, as much to hear from you, the people, as much it is from us. But, Clint, just your overall reaction, being that I stayed so late, I was able to listen to you in the post-game show, and I heard a lot of you and Sean in the post-game show. But for you, as you've had a little time to think about it, your reaction, just your overall reaction to that W last night.
Well, look, I think it's a really good day to be a Houston Texans fan, and not just because you're above 500, but – you know, I just believe what we watched last night is what we all hoped for when the Houston Texans hired DeMeco Ryans. I don't really know exactly what's who the offensive coordinator is going to be. I don't know what the scheme on the offensive side is going to be. That's probably going to change. Even if the guy's bad, he's going to get fired. If he's good, he's going to get hired somewhere else. So that's probably always going to change and may be a little bit of a mixed bag as we go here. But the idea when you hire DeMeco is you can win games versus top-tier opponents with your defense. And when I look at what happened last night, you won a game with your defense last night when your offense had 35 yards, total yards in the second half. When they completely went into a shell and got really conservative and made, I mean, I think the Jalen Higgins 16-yard catch or whatever was really the only play they made in the second half. The defense proved last night against a top-tier caliber opponent that your offense, if they just go out there and do enough, doesn't matter if it's the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or fourth, if they just do enough defensively, you can win a football game. And so as a Houston Texans fan, man, tip the cap to DeMeco Ryans, tip the cap to this defense that they got right now. This defense is going to give them a chance. Gave them a huge chance last night. They took advantage of it. It's going to give them a huge chance moving forward against every opponent on this schedule. And ultimately, it's going to give them a chance to get into the sneak into the playoffs and really be a team that nobody wants to face given what this defense is capable of doing. So the headliner yesterday, as I said, what was on the line, the pressure was on D'Amico, and that defense had to be special, and Ron, they were. 8 sacks, 3 turnovers, handed the offense
The only three points they got in the second half.
Yeah, the only three they got in the second half, and 3 of them in the first half they handed to them. So, I mean, the headliner was the defense. They were big time, and that was the reigning MVP. That was a really, really good football team. I know we made them look pedestrian, but that was a 7-win football team that everybody believes is a real contender in the AFC, and the Texans – took it to him last night.
You've watched this defense all season. Are you surprised they were able to do that with Buffalo? Because, right, there's no asterisks on this one, right? We've talked about the Baltimore game. They had a whole host of guys out, including Lamar and their left tackle and some of their best defensive players. We even looked at the 49ers. You know, they had a lot of guys out as well, including their starting quarterback as well out of that game.
Yeah.
They're like, this is clearly the win of – this isn't Tennessee or this – this is a win of a team that rolled out there last week and put up 44 on the Buccaneers. Are you surprised they were able – because that's 12 points. If Frank Ross's group doesn't do what they did, you know, this thing is a different story.
No, it doesn't surprise me, but I mean, it's more about the history of Josh Allen versus the Texans. I mean, for whatever reason
–
it's a terrible matchup for him. And I don't know if it's him or Joe Brady or what's the scheme. I don't know what it is.
Especially this particular group with their pass rush.
Now, I'm surprised that it happened again. I mean, you're talking about the reigning MVP that went out there and scored 6 touchdowns last week. And I don't care who you do that against. That's a hell of a day. And then you look at, like, how the Texans did it. I mean, the Texans, the physicality, you can talk about the tight end being out, the receiver going to concussion protocol early or at least being tested for a concussion. They had a rough go about it. But I think all of it was due to the physicality of the Houston Texans. If you look at how Josh Allen struggled last night, I mean, the Texans' defensive line beat the hell out of a really good offensive line. I mean, that wasn't a leaky.
Yes, 79 had to tap out.
Oh, he tapped out. I mean, but he tapped out because he was injured and couldn't go any further. I mean, Josh Allen, two or three different times running off the field, holding his arm and kicking his – laying on the field, kicking his legs. The physicality that the defense brought to the table last night against a team that has the ability to bully folks, to be honest with you, to be the bully in that particular instance was impressive, man. So, no, look, I'm not surprised that they were able to beat up Josh, to beat up that offensive line the way that they were. Now, I didn't have 8 sacks in the bag. I didn't have 3 turnovers in the bag. I didn't have 12 points in the bag. I thought if you keep them below 20, you're going to be in a really, really good spot.
I was nervous the way that James Cook was getting off early. The way that happened early, I thought, boy, the recipe, right, to get them. But they were able to just hold it down that every time they dropped back to pass, it was a problem.
Well, I think one of the things – I got to ask this question this morning doing some radio – is like, what is wrong with the Bills and Josh Allen? Because Josh Allen's a generational-type player, and if Buffalo doesn't win a Super Bowl or, hell, get to a Super Bowl with Josh Allen, it's going to be a crying-ass shame. He's that good of a player. He's that dominant of a player, special of a player. But I don't know what the answer to that question is, but I watched him last night. I don't know how Joe Brady – and I hear Joe Brady's catching hell right now from Buffalo on the radio.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I don't know how Joe Brady – for several reasons. This isn't just I prefer this type of approach. Like, there wasn't one quarterback plus one run last night.
Yeah, and I think at one point he was getting his ass kicked so much maybe they didn't want to do it. But they had to do things to slow – run game in general, to me, they got away from – far too much.
The QB plus one run game would have protected him. You're sitting back there. You're sitting him back there, and he's like a pinata getting a hell beat out of him. And it's Will Anderson doing all the damage.
You know him. You know, because I know you're probably watching that from a cornerback's perspective. Like, Davis Mills did not get sacked. That wasn't only just because the Texans' offensive line was just so great that they didn't get their hands.
Yeah.
Davis didn't allow himself to get sacked. Josh sat back there and allowed himself to get like. I'd say at least half of those sacks were, hey, Josh, man, get rid of the ball.
Yeah, get rid of the ball.
Hey, Josh, throw the ball.
But you got to protect him from himself. You got to protect him from himself, right? I mean, the only time he got the ball out of his hand quickly was when it was a designed quick throw
or
screen.
Yes.
So it's one of those where you got to protect him from himself. And the good thing is he's 6'5", 250, and you've got one of the better running backs in the league. You got a 1-2 punch that probably could have at least protected your quarterback and given you a chance to sustain some drives. But, you know, you just kept dropping him back there, letting him get pinata'd around, as well as exposing him to his one downfall, which is holding the damn football and trying to be Superman. And so, you know, I think when you look at what Buffalo's doing, I mean, they're a really good football team, but what they did last night and just continuing to drop Josh back and putting him in that situation is wild. I mean, that when you look at that 1-2 punch of Danielle Hunter coming off one side, Will Anderson coming off the other, I mean,
and they were letting their tackles singled up too.
Hey man, no, you're facing a defense with the number 3 and the number 4 sack getter in the league. Danielle's got 11 and Will's got 10.5. 11 games into the season, and you're continuing to drop your quarterback back, knowing he's going to hold the football and try to do too much with it. Yeah, I thought not so much a game plan, but I thought at some point in the middle of the game they would have said, "Hey, man, let's protect him from himself and let's just run the football downhill." Like they never did that, and the Texans capitalized on it.
Yeah, I see people texting in. What was your thinking? Did you're thinking this thing is over? What's your thinking after that game? After Bullock was able to get his second interception and third forced turnover, you're thinking, I see some people texting in, we're going to the Super Bowl, damn it. It was a smackdown in H-Town. Yeah, it was amazing. I'll tell you where I was, Clint. Just kind of overall, it was, to me, the first time since week 3, because the start of the season, I thought this team could be a playoff team, right? Hell, I had them winning the division. There's some texter who tries to text in every week to me, hey, Ron, how are they going to win the division this time? Well, I did. I thought they were a playoff team and a team that could win their division. After they went 0-3 and the way they lost those games, you know, I had to change my thought process. To me, I now take them very, very serious as a playoff contender. And that is like that is real, that win against that team. And I think since week 3, I look at them and, all right, this is game on now. This is a real thing. Before, there was like, all right, you know, maybe, let's see. They've got to win a game. They've got to show that they could beat, you know, a real good team. They got to get over 500. You know, last week you're 16-13 in a fight with the worst team in football and maybe one of the worst teams we've seen in the last couple of years. And now you come back and you beat this team at home. And you beat them in a way that is just dominant from your defense. Like now, I think you can take them. You already had. You take them serious now as a real playoff contender.
Well, you've got to. They started out 0-3, and in the last 8 games, they're 6-2. I mean, you can't look at this team and not at least view them as a playoff caliber football team. And when I look at the Texans, it's where it shifted a bit is I think, you know, in the past, we're sitting around talking about how bad this offense is and what it's going to take to beat the Josh Allens, the Pat Mahomes, the Lamar Jackson. I know all those guys aren't having great years this year, but you get my point, is this defense can win without scoring 30 points. I don't care who the opponent is. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to give up 25, 28, 30 points the rest of the season. That may happen, but the reality of it is this team can make the playoffs and win in the playoffs scoring 20 points, scoring 21 points. I mean, you don't need the offense to go out there and light it up for 4 quarters, and that was proven last night against one of the best the NFL has to offer. The defense is a defense that's going to give you all the opportunity under the sun to win games. Can the offense just take advantage when the momentum's in their favor, when the opportunity presents itself, can they take advantage just enough to win ball games, and the defense is gonna allow that to be a low number.
Hey, tell me the truth. What was y'all thinking when old Palmer caught that ball?
I thought it was over.
And tossed it over to Shakir, and he's running down the sideline. And they got four. It's like what they got 41 seconds with 2 timeouts left.
Yeah, I mean it's 4th and 20-something. When that happened, and it wasn't even about the Texans and the Bills at that point. That's just about fate. I mean, that's just about destiny.
How the hell did that happen?
That's just like you look at it and you go, come on, man. I mean, not only did they convert it, but they got 40 or 50 seconds left, and they got 2 timeouts still remaining. And so I thought for sure, like, this is just, here we go again, man. It's just not our year. And boy, they were able to pull it out, man. That was impressive.
Yeah, no, I said to you, I leaned to you, and I said, somebody's going to make a play. They'll get to him. They'll get him down. You said, oh, you had that look. I said, oh my God, because it was coming right in front of us, and you could see there was nobody on that side of the field for the Texans that was going to stop him. I just, you could just see how that game was going. That every time they dropped back, it was like the odds were not that they would not make a play. Like the odds were he was going to get hit. Like that was like it started to become the odds were he was going to get sacked because he wasn't getting rid of it and he was holding it back there. The odds were, and I just like, boy, every like one out of three plays might be a sack. it felt like that, or at least close to a sack, or he's running around, he's going to lose. He lost like 76 yards in sack yards in that game. Just killing them. Someone texted in, I thank God every day that the Bills do not know how to use Ty Johnson. That dude is dangerous, but they barely use him. Been telling you all along, Ron, they are a playoff team, but no, back in week 3-4-ish, you were saying they suck. They did suck. They sucked. I think that's a fair thing. They did suck. They were great last night.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
You can call me a hater or whatever. Hell, you probably won't admit it. You thought they sucked.
Hold on, so.
You thought they sucked when they couldn't solve Trevor Lawrence. They went to 0-3. And it was 6-0 and going into the fourth quarter against Tennessee. But they do not suck. They've got the best defense in football. And not just the best defense in football, but one of the real difference makers in football with that defense. It was an amazing win last night. And if you want to hit me with some told you so's, I think it's stupid because I think all of you felt that way. Everybody did. Hell, Tyler picked against the Texans for the first time ever this year, and I've never seen Tyler, heard Tyler. Tyler has 16, 17, and 0. Every week he finds a way to believe it. He even said, I got to step out. So it's all there. All right, Clint, let's do our grades on Davis Mills. Very odd performance in this game for not just Davis, but the offense in general. He was 16-30. 153 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, quarterback rating of 90. By contrast, Josh Allen's quarterback rating was 67. So he wasn't great, but, you know, obviously he was the winning quarterback in this game. What was your grade for Davis Mills' performance last night? We'll do that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live here on the road on a Football Friday here live at Walk-Ons here in Katy. Make your way on out here. We've got Area 45. We've got their glass you can get on the house. You can just pick that on up. And we've got plenty of prizes, including gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. I have a story about Academy Sports and Outdoors.
You went back, didn't you?
I got a story. But we'll get to that at some point. But you can win gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors. You can also win a free oil change, any type of vehicle you have at Tomball Ford, they will hook you up. And as well as the big one coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Texans-Colts game, the last game of the season at NRG, which could be a enormous game that has a lot of ramifications to the AFC playoffs, potentially the division. You got a chance to win a pair of those tickets courtesy of our Houston Ford dealers. And I would urge also to use your QR code on your phone and enter the Ultimate Tailgate where you can win $1,000 gift card from Academy Sports and Outdoors, and two tickets in the suite, for a Texans game. So there are a lot of things you can come away with. Get on down here to Walk-Ons here at Katy. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, jumping on this. Please, we do this after each game. Davis Mills, he's the quarterback probably for the last time. I think CJ returns against the Colts next week. He was 3-0, but for particular for this game, what do you grade Davis Mills? 16 for 30, 153 yards, two touchdown passes, no picks, no turnovers, quarterback rating of 90. How do you grade Davis Mills?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a B-minus again. And this time,
now, the last time you started with a B-minus, then you talked yourself into a B-plus.
I started with a C-plus here, and I talked myself into the B-minus.
Oh, you've already done it.
Look, just because I got to grade him on the scale of he is a backup. He's a backup quarterback, so I got to grade him a little differently. And it starts with not turning the football over and not taking any sacks. That's always important in football. It's tenfold important when you're playing the brand the Texans are playing with our defense.
But we watched that on the other side.
Right. Yeah. How detrimental that can be. So that right there is a huge plus, right? And then I move into man, when it was good, it was good. I mean, there was a couple of drives in that second quarter that were really, really good and ultimately enough to win the game. When I look at what the only, really, to be completely honest, I don't blame the second half on Davis Mills. I think they came out. I think the penalties killed them, and I think the offensive coordinator got extremely conservative.
We got to get into that at some point today.
Well, yeah, that's what scares you about this team at this point is just that level of dependency on your defense is scary. But I don't have it. That Davis Mills has nothing to do with that right there. Offensively, it's the several misses early.
Higgins a couple of times.
The Higgins miss when the defensive back fell down, that left points on the field. You would have definitely got into field goal range if that wouldn't have been a touchdown. I don't know. That left points on the field. Now, I'm not sure as a quarterback is – did Davis Mills expect him to keep that – once that DB fell down, did he expect him to keep it high to take him to the end zone and the young receiver just break out and stick to his route? And was there – I'm not sure there wasn't a miscommunication there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You're the quarterback. That was a huge chunk play, if not a touchdown, right? Number two, it didn't end up costing him. But the miss to Higgins on the go route in the second quarter, the beginning of the second quarter – the miss to him on the go route where you literally hit the DB in the middle of the back, that I gotta dock you for that. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's an easy throw, too. That was – Davis wants that one back big time.
Kept it killing CJ over there on the bench.
And this may be a tad bit unfair to a backup quarterback, but I think Davis Mills is capable of making the throw to Dalton Schultz in the seam where he threw it behind him. Now, Dalton Schultz is a $12 million tight end. He needs to go up over that guy's back and make that play. But if you throw that ball out in front over the top, even if you still where your tight end's got a back shoulder, if it's still a higher throw, that's a touchdown. So neither one of those ended up hurting the team. So I didn't dock him the way that I probably should have docked him because he came back and threw the touchdown to Christian Kirk, I believe. But those misses early in that game could have cost this team. Now they didn't, but in terms of grading the quarterback, you know, I've got a grading critically there in that instance. And then the two-minute drive was spectacular. The two-minute drive was absolutely spectacular. So all that said, I land at a B-minus, and I think Davis Mills going 3-0 and having some really clutch moments in these three games were huge for the Houston Texans. Obviously, they got three wins, but hell of a job by Davis once again.
Text line, I give Davis Mills an A, not because of his stats or completions or touchdowns, only because he has a three-game winning streak so far, and I truly believe Mills is mentally strong. You never see him get down during the game. You don't see him down and all depressed. Okay, now we're getting into the CJ stuff. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Two things can be true. He has been great. He has been fantastic. He needs to go ahead and go ahead and take on his role and his position when C.J. Stroud is healthy. I give him a B. Clint, and almost inclined to get to a B plus because I'm with you, and we'll and if, in fact I want to talk about that coming up next. That the shutdown, the personal shutdown themselves of the offense in the second half. But I thought he was really, really good, and I'm going to tell you, I was so impressed. And if you, and I'm sure many of you watched at home, after Frank Ross's group gave up another back-breaking return for a touchdown, they panned the camera over there at Davis, and he just started nodding his head forward, like, "All right, let's go." Yeah. Like it wasn't like that. He was like, "Let's go, game on, let's go." And then he came out and had that excellent two-minute drive that you talked about where he made some misses but made plays ultimately to get the touchdown to Higgins. So I give him that, man. And he saw how the game is going. And I think it's really, really big for quarterbacks to see how the game is going. And he did not screw up field position the way that Josh did repeatedly. He did not put the ball in harm's way. There were times Bosa got back there, Rougeau got back there, they got – blitzes, and he wouldn't allow himself to be sacked, right? He lived to fight another day in a way that the quarterback on the other side refused to do for Buffalo, and you could see how that game, it was a point where it was like, just, I cannot help Buffalo. I can't help Buffalo. I got to make them have full fields to drive, and I thought he was excellent with that. So I give Davis Mills a B. Hell, I'll take it up to a B+. He was fantastic over those three games, and he was great last night. Let's jump into that because it was a tale of two halves last night. And was it the Bills' defense that made some adjustments that shut down the Texans, or was it the Texans that shut down the Texans? We'll discuss that next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Does that actually work when you get blasted drunk and you feel like you got a hangover and the next day if you just start drinking again? Like, does that really – I've told
– worked for me multiple times.
I've told myself it worked. I don't know if it really did, got back to getting drunk again.
The old hair of the dog.
Yeah, man.
Tyler, you might want to think about that.
I haven't done it since I've been older, so it may have been just youth and being able to recover a little bit better. But yeah, there was plenty of times back in the day where, boy, that was just that was the plan going in.
Like, Tyler, right now on a scale of 1 to 10, how rough are you feeling? Ooh. Rough 10 being I'm not gonna make it to 6.
Oh, well, in that case, I was gonna say 10, but I know wuss. I'm making it to 6 p.m. I'm gonna go with 8.6.
You're at an 8.6,
dude. I haven't been this hungover since the war, brother.
So like, I'm wondering if you just had, you know, a double shot of bourbon right now on the rocks. Would that clear you up? Like, would that make you feel better right now? I've done it. I've told myself back in them college days, but I don't know if I just re-got drunk or if it really did.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, if I'm gonna hair the old dog, I'm not gonna start with a double shot of anything. I'm gonna ease on in. I'm talking like,
I just figured he just started picking up where he left off.
No, Bloody Mary. I mean, you know, maybe something like that, and just kind of ease on into it, and then maybe go a double, you know, put a little double shot in a Bloody Mary or something. But no, not just straight.
Maybe some
hammer down
some martini.
By the way, I want to be honest.
Not a shot. Good gosh, that would. I mean, that's going to
this hair of the dog. First time I've ever heard that before. Right now,
really.
I've never heard. Start drinking again.
Another one of those things. Another one of those things you shouldn't admit it on air.
Really,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Hair of the dog. Never heard of it. 713-572-4610. You ever heard of hair of the dog?
Vacation, man. You get good. You get good and loose out one evening. That next morning, man, you go eat a little brunch and you hit that Bloody Mary and get you started again. Next thing you know, you're knee deep again. Yeah, that's fancy.
that's where you want to go.
Tyler, don't lie though, man. You got Santiago. He's ready to go.
No, he ain't doing that.
You got anybody on?
No, it's football Friday.
Yeah,
you got anybody teed up just in case?
No, I feel like garbage, but I'm doing this damn show. This is my show. This is our show, man.
He's going out after.
Let's go.
He's going back to the Heights.
Victory Friday.
There you go. Someone texting, come on, Ryan. I've never heard of Hair of the Dog. I don't know. When you guys were saying that, I'm just putting it together. And I've never heard of it. Never heard of this saying.
That's crazy.
Well, is it?
I mean, in all seriousness, yeah. Like that, I feel like that's so common.
That's all that matters.
I've done it a few times. I believe we've called it something else.
What'd you call it?
I don't remember. If somebody said it, I'd hear it. But Hair of the Dog was definitely not it. And I was in Nashville, some ways south, when I was really doing that a lot. Never heard of it. All right, Clint, tell the two halves. The Texans, as we said yesterday, and I said, man, this is going to be a lot about Nick Caley, because this isn't a defense that is anywhere close to like the Texans were. Hey, man, it's an uphill battle. No, this is a defense that will allow things. We've seen throughout the year, obviously, they're the 31st ranked rushing defense in football. And as you kind of outlined yesterday, they've also given up yards to several receivers this year, big games to receivers this year. So this was a defense that could be had. And the Texans were missing plays, as you highlighted, and still put up 20 in the first half. But that was it, because the second half, they didn't do anything. Yep. They didn't move the ball whatsoever. It's not even just like, oh, man, they're three and outs, five and outs, and they got the ball multiple turnovers. They got a turnover. That's what set them up for the field goal. Didn't really do much, you know, other than maybe they ran Woody Marks three straight times to get about 11 or 12 yards to get a first down, and then it was over. There were penalties in that first drive, issues. Was it something Buffalo did, or do you think this was by design from the Texans?
Well, I would like – well, definitely by design.
We'll have to see tape drop Tuesday, too. That'll be a big one next week.
I just don't know when the decision was made. You know, there was a couple of things obvious to me. I mean, it was clear in that second half – which I don't think Nico Collins had a target in the second half. In fact, I'm pretty sure he did not have a target in the second half.
He had one target. You talk about Nico?
In the second half?
He had one target. It was the target that I don't know if it was supposed to be for him or supposed to be for Dalton Schultz, because they both ran in the same region in the second half. And I think they were trying to run a screen to him early in the second half. But it also looked like it might have been a fake to him and then a screen to Woody Marks. But it wasn't there. Davis threw it into the ground. I'm sounding like Reggie breaking down these plays.
Well, I mean, that's a fear of mine, and we should all have offensively, is their inability or not being willing to – like all the defense had to do, and Buffalo did it all night. All they had to do was roll a safety over the top, and they'll go elsewhere. They'll go away from Nico pretty quickly. Here's the thing with what we watched in the second half. I wonder when the decision to be ultra conservative was made, right? Because if you look at the way this thing, the way it happened, the first drive in the second half, there was three penalties. You got behind that, like you said, they're trying to throw a screen. Andrews was downfield, and there's three penalties in that first drive, and then they just shut it down from there on. And so you wonder, did D'Amico Ryan see that and go, I'm not going to let this thing get sideways. I'm not going to let it get sideways. We're going to play defense. We're going to let the game dictate how aggressive we are on offense, and we're going to be conservative from this point moving forward. And so I wonder when the decision was made. But 35 yards, really one play, the throw to Higgins, that was really made. There was a couple of other short throws, but that was really the one. Heavy commitment to the run with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. Yeah, this is the part that scares me about the Texans.
I hated it. It pissed me off, to be honest.
It's one thing if you're playing a certain defense, like if you're playing the Texans defense. And you know, but, man, I mean, Davis was on his way, and this offense was on their way to scoring 30-plus points. Davis was on his way to throwing for 250 and three or four touchdowns.
and they were humming now. They had the number. And all of a sudden you decide to shut it down. I clearly you won, so you made the right decision. But my worry moving forward is you give playoff caliber teams and quarterbacks that many opportunities, one of them's going to bite you in the tail. And Josh almost got you last night, and it almost bit you in the tail last night. So that's the one thing that I think is a little concerned. That was an extreme shift of gears in the second half offensively.
I hate it. I really had
every reason not to.
I despise it because, Clint, on defense, they are all about let's go ahead and end it. Let's get ultra aggressive. Let's end this game. On offense, it was like they were comfortable with, all right, let's win this game 23-19. Let's win it 23. Let's win it 23-19. And like you said, they had a chance to meet a step on their necks, and they were like, no, man, let's play field position. Yeah. Let's do this and that. And now I don't think that is a, all right, yeah, they won, so they were right. I mean, as you said, man, like Joe Brady helped them out a little bit with some of the stuff that he did. That 4th-and-1, huge play by Sheldon Brankins and company getting that stop. But then, Clint, you know the deal is, all right, man, we played this shutdown deal. Let's say they get, you know, they get a score there, and all of a sudden, oh, now you got to turn it on. Now you got to start to try to score again and play. And I just hate that thought process of, hey, let's just play this thing to win it, or let's play this thing not to lose it. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying let's go get the damn game, right? I understand it was Davis out there, but they couldn't. And someone said Nico was injured. They were using him as a decoy. Nah, he was out there. I think Nico could at least thrown it his way, at least acted like you were. Like they got out there, and that's the part. Like you could see when they get the turnover, Clint, they get the fumble, they go three straight plays of handoffs. And I'm one say they got to run the football. Now they got up, but they go like no play action, and then they get the first down. You know what they do the next play? Another handoff. That becomes a 2-yard loss that then kind of sets the drive back. And they look like they were just comfortable with the field goal. Like, let's get that field goal. Let's go. And I don't know. Maybe you're like, hey, man, they played to their I think, honest to God, you saw that first half. I think they could have put 30 on that team, as you were saying. They could have. I think they helped Buffalo out a lot.
Yeah, they help keep it close. There's no doubt by design. I think it was a decision that was made. And again, I don't know if it was a halftime decision or if it was a decision that was made after you come out. Clearly, your offense wasn't focused coming out of halftime with those penalties and getting behind the chains again. I wonder if it was made after that drive or in the locker room at halftime. But I do that's you know, as a Texans fan, that's the concern is. Man, that's a tough way to win 4 ball games against the best the league has to offer. That's a tough way to dig yourself out of the hole when you've got to play Indy twice. You got to play Kansas City. You got some opponents that in that situation, you give them you give the teams on this schedule, you give them that opportunity where just one play can bust it wide open.
Yeah, you had a 4th-and-27 converted because.
Yep.
Where, you know, they like at the very least get aggressive, so they had to have a score a touchdown to tie you and not to win.
And it's clearly not, you know, you look at the week before, it was the worst team in the league, the Tennessee Titans, where you're conservative, it's a close game, you win it late, you're confident your defense is, but your defense gives up the big play right there towards the end. Now it's a tie ball game and you got to go win it. It's a hell of a life to live, man, being that extreme one direction, which is the in favor of the defense. But it worked last night. We're sitting at 6-5, man, and we got a shot.
Text line coming in, Ron. This offense isn't an offense that can step on anyone's neck. No, they were last night. They against that defense, they could have played the same way and the same level of aggressiveness that they played in that first half and put up points.
Well, I mean, the good thing is that, you know, you didn't need it. I mean, but you're one drive, one touchdown away from really putting real pressure on Buffalo and Josh Allen.
Instead of taking the run game away.
Instead of allowing that to be a seven-point game and then allowing it to be a four-point game, you could have really extended that lead, and they chose to be a little bit more conservative. And look, now, in D'Amico's defense, maybe he knew that Josh Allen and them were going to do it anyway. It didn't matter if he didn't need to be down two scores to hold the football and run around like a chicken with your head cut off back there. And maybe they knew he was going to do that anyway, and they could go get him, and the score really didn't dictate that. But, it's a tough life to leave, to lead, being that dependent on your defense.
All right, it's your time. We're going to open up the phone lines to you, 713-572-4610. Tyler, we'll get you on. And I want to talk and hear your thoughts on this. Stephen A. Smith on First Take today, Clint, said what he learned from last night's game is that the Houston Texans can win the AFC. That's what Stephen A. Smith said this morning. He believes that the Houston Texans – he learned that the Houston Texans can win the AFC after watching that defense last night. Where does that sit with you? I want to hear your thoughts on that and where you are after last night's game coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive.